in a time of turmoil and poverty, in a country of all talk and no action, there stands one candidate for president that towers above the rest, a born leader with proven results, interested only in positive change for this country and all its citizens.
I, Optimus Prime, leader of the Autobots.
Optimus Prime for president, a proven leader. Paid for by Optimus Prime for President 2000.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby here. First thing I want to note is that the show is separated into four parts. The first part is the usual show. Second part is a long review of Superfire Convoy by Goldimus Prime. Third part is a review, an interview rather, with Hooks that does contain a few Season 2 Beast Machine spoilers near the end. And the fourth part is the next to final review of Beast Machine Season 2, the new episode, in-game part 2. Coming up on this part of the show this week, we have trivia, the ATT buzz, and we also have some listener feedback. First off this week, I actually want to start with trivia. I don't have a trivia clip this week. I have Zob trivia instead. But I want to get to last week's clip. Nobody got it. I didn't expect anyone to, really. It was from Master Force. The episode was The Psionic Whirlwind. Zob trivia this week, though. The question is, and the answer will be revealed at the end of this segment. Question is, in which cartoon episode was sulfuric acid used? That's it. Coming up next on the show is John DeLuna's ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and I hope everybody got at least one day off from school or work last week. I think we all need a little recharge this time of year, and good for me. It looks like most of you spent your day off posting to the news group, bringing up some old school questions. I guess some of these things will never die. Take for example, Cyclonus is Skywarp. The argument, the epic battle. Now, in the movie, you can say that Cyclonus is built from Bombshell or Skywarp. And, you see, no matter how much rationalizing you do, and no matter how much arguing or begging or pleading you do, there can never be a real answer to the question, which means the argument will go on and on and on. But some of the explanations are pretty fun to read, so I guess it's okay. And just for the record, I think Cyclonus is the result of Bombshell, scrap, and a lot of duct tape. Frenzy is blue, and Optimus would have blasted Megatron if it weren't for Hot Rod. But you gotta blame Hot Rod for something, because, you see, he was warned to stay out of the way. And there's nothing like a spooky auction during the week to get the blood boiling and the heart pumping. I mean, do these ever get old? The latest perfectly legal and totally honest, wink wink, auction was this past week, and Supreme Cheetor went for a cool $275. Now remember, he'll probably go for like less than 50 at Walmart. And I won't waste my time or breath ranting here, because people can do whatever they want with their cash. It's their money. It's no sweat off my back. Personally, I'll wait a month or two and pay just a tad less. And I'll take this as more proof that there is too much money in this world. And speaking of too much money, if you're debating on whether to attend the big BotCon dinner for $70. Hurry up and decide, because as of Wednesday, there are only 15 seats left. And it'll be well worth it, too, I think, especially if we band together and demand a lap dance from a certain voice actor that shall remain nameless. And I am not talking about Tarantulas' voice actor, perverts. Finally, let me address some listener feedback real quick. It seems someone has stated that Blue Blue Streak exists since, well, there is a Blue Blue Streak in the 1984 catalog. And yes, if you want to get technical, there is at least one Blue Blue Streak that graced our eyeballs, and that's it. That's the one. But what the real argument is over is if there was ever a Blue Blue Streak release in Transformer packaging, one that came off the assembly line and onto the shelves, labeled and sold as a Transformer, not a die clone, not a knockoff, as a Transformer. And the fact is that we'll never know, absolutely for sure. I mean, there is a chance it happened, but there's also a chance that Bigfoot exists, but what are the odds of that? You see, in order to absolutely prove that a Blue Blue Streak existed under the circumstances I just said, we need a sealed specimen that could be studied by a panel of collectors to verify it. And to be really sure, if we wanted to get really anal about this, we'd have to then open it and examine the bubble inside to make sure that was sealed. So the bottom line is, does Blue Blue Streak exist? Well, technically, yeah, he does. In the catalog, at least. But practically and realistically, he doesn't. Sorry. That's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
Radio Free Cybertron!
Thanks, John. Before we get into the listener feedback, which is the actual last segment of this part of the show, we want to mention, don't forget to check out the webpage where we have the new Bully Pulpit, this time written by AlexJ33106. He's filling in for Mad Max MFP this week. He is continuing the editorial on commercials. It's always fun. Also, this is the last week when we have our poll, your opinion on alt.toys.transformers up. Next week we will have a new poll. I have no clue what it is yet.
You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. The first, the best, the Optimus Prime, if you will.
Okay, right up now, is listener feedback. We got a question from Ben Poston. He wanted to know when RFC airs in his time zone, which was in Australia, I believe. Technically, RFC is on all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but it is usually up sometime around 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturdays, your time. So, there you go. And now to the responses to the ATT rant. The first one is from Clayton J. Rays. I agree with you on the current state of ATT. I used to frequent that group on a regular basis, but I somewhat recently discovered Bot Talk, and I soon became fed up with ATT. I have been keeping the casual eye on ATT, and I think that it isn't a lost cause yet. However, it can easily be on in a short amount of time if something is not done about it soon. He also went on to say, I think you guys are doing a great job, and I want you to keep up the good work. Thanks. Next one, I don't have a name for, I'm sorry. I totally agree with you, your rant this week. I have just recently started browsing through ATT and also hate off-topic posts. That's why I like regular message boards that have other off-topic boards. Well, I guess, to respond to that, I guess you could say regular message boards. That's sort of... I look at web boards as not being regular, as in the fact that Usenet was first. But I know what you mean there. Web boards do have off-topic, some of them do, have off-topic segments for their places, which is a great idea, and that's something you don't have with ATT. But it's also something that I don't think really is needed for a Usenet group so much. But one of my biggest problems with the group... actually was the flames and everything, just as much as off-topicness, but that gets ignored most of the time. The next one was sent to us. I can't find the name. The sound quality could be a little better, but I had to redub it to actually put it on the show. So the sound quality degraded a little. I had to edit it too for time because it was long. It had a lot of stuff, but I cut it down to about a minute or two segments that I felt conveyed what the listener was saying the best. Here they are, back to back.
A person of almost 30, I found myself being drawn into arguments. More than just debates, more than just discussions, but huge flame wars, arguments. They were getting rather heavy and they were getting rather pointless. Until one particular week, it all opened itself up and made itself so extraordinarily clear. The internet is so good at leveling the playing field that when you think you're talking to one person, you're really talking to something else altogether. I won't go into any great amount of details as to my experience in space battles, except for the fact that when you're disillusioned about something, the reality becomes excruciatingly frustrating. For it is impossible for a grown man to hold any level of serious, true conversation, discussion about pick your topic, about politics, morality, anything, with someone who turns out to be 16, 17, maybe even 18. I'm sorry, they just don't have enough life experience. They don't have enough maturity. And that was the first part of my disillusionment. People build opinions into their own facts. Now, I know this happens in the real world, but when you talk to somebody face to face in real life, a lot of this type of stuff does not tend to happen. The great internet disillusionment, built upon rudeness, built upon self-abasement, with a terrible lack of humbleness and humility, or grace for the other individual.
I agree for the most part. I definitely agree that people hold their opinions as fact often, and it's not. It can be, but it is your opinion, and that's arguable. Everything is. But about the 16 or 17-year-old thing, I know plenty of 16 or 17-year-old people who are mature and can carry on an argument better than some people who are in their 20s. And that's actually fairly evident on alt.toys.transformers. It's when I was 17, I guess 16 or 17 years old, I could carry on an argument with my teachers at school and win a good chunk of the time. But that's not true with everybody, so, yeah. But, yeah, I understand what you mean, and I can empathize with you. We're drawing near the end of the show this week. That is time now, then, for the answer to Zob trivia. The answer is to the question, in which cartoon episode was sulfuric acid used? It is in Heavy Metal War. To Burrow to Teletran 1, Mixmaster used H2SO4, also known as sulfuric acid. I want to remind you to tune in to the next three parts, the Goldimus Prime review of Superfire Convoy, the interview with Hooks, and the spoilers section. Don't forget, on the webpage the Bully Pulpit, which is done by AlexJ33106. Oh, and don't forget to check out the Optimus Prime for President 2000, done by Jay Dale. There is a link, little graphic link there on the homepage. So, if you are not listening to the spoilers section, This is Brian Kilby for Radio Free Cybertron. We'll see you next week. But if you are, you'll see me here in a few minutes. For Radio Free Cybertron, this is Brian Kilby. Thank you for listening.
This week, I'm reviewing Super Fire Convoy from the Japanese Transformers Car Robots line. Please bear with me through any bad quality or sudden volume changes. I'm recording this on a stereo instead of the computer like normal. I can't get at the computer right now. Try to iron out any bad parts when I get over there. We thank you for your patience. Back to your regularly scheduled review. Super Fire Convoy, or SFC for short, is of course a fire truck. Body color is red with silver on top, with a metal paneling mold, the ridged square kind. He also has rubberized plastic tires with the word Fire Convoy printed on them. Front and rear. He is 11 inches from front to back, and excuse me, I'm taking these measurements as I record. 3 inches wide, 3 inches tall at the roof, and about 5 inches tall at the top of the ladder when it's resting against his body. Raised, the ladder is, again, excuse me, I'm taking measurements as I go, 15 inches, and extended, it's almost 2 feet tall, probably is 2 feet tall, actually. Super Fire Convoy has electronics, that you use with the press of a button on his roof. When you press the button, lights also flash. I'm going to run through the range of sounds right now. I think it's like 5 sounds, and then red lights flash at the same time. In a darkened room, they light up very nicely, but they look rather weak in a well-lit room. Super Fire Convoy has 3 usable points of articulation in vehicle mode. A ratcheting swivel to aim his ladder, joint to move his ladder up and down, and the end of his ladder has 2 nozzles, which presumably would be the water nozzles, which will go up and down. The nozzles themselves can lock hidden away, and then at the touch of a button, spring forward. It's a shame they don't have any missiles to go with them, maybe some translucent blue or something. That could be a nice effect. Fire Convoy has a bit of writing on him, some Japanese characters, which unfortunately I can't read, and then below that in smaller printing is the word Cybertron in English. Cybertron is, of course, the Japanese name for Autobot/Maximals. Fire Convoy has a couple robot modes. I'm going to try to do a detailed run through of all of them. I'm not going to do detailed transformation steps, as that would lengthen this review considerably. Transformation to Fire Convoy's basic robot mode, which is Fire Convoy himself, is pretty simple and intuitive. You basically just unfold him. He's about the size of an Ultra in robot mode. That's 8 inches tall at the head. And in case you're wondering, 4.5 inches wide at the shoulders. His legs are, to me, a little bit disproportionate, the lower legs, that is. They're made from the forward cab of the fire truck. In fact, the entire front cab comes off and makes the robot itself, leaving the rest of the truck to become a base for him. I guess kind of like a communication thing or something. Kind of reminiscent of what I've seen of original Prime's trailer. His color scheme is red from the fire truck with some chrome on his torso, slightly chromed red to more shinily chromed red. Is shinily a word? And his lower abdomen is silver. His pelvis is normal gray plastic. His upper legs are kind of an off-white, almost cream color, as are his lower arms, which have blue wrists, and his hands, well, fists, have gray shields around the back of the hand and the first knuckle, and the rest of the hand is cream white. Lower legs are the red from the fire truck. His head is blue with a silver faceplate. And his feet, which are actually rather hidden under his legs, are kind of a silvery black. I'd also like to take this opportunity to note his eyes aren't light piping, although they look like they do. They're actually chrome gold, as are his eyes in Super Fire Convoy mode. This has a very nice look to it. It really gives him a life of his own. His electronics are functional in robot mode. Listen. Like I said, they're functional in robot mode. The sound box and battery compartment make a backpack on him. I don't know if the backpack was the best idea they could have done this. Best way they could have done this, rather. But I'm not really complaining. I'm actually glad he has the sound box. The next mode, I really don't know what the name of it is. The rear part of the fire truck, excuse me, splits in half to form missile launchers that you lock onto his shoulders. Then you put the left super gauntlet, which would be Super Fire Convoy's left arm, on Fire Convoy's left arm. He's now got giant missile launchers on his shoulders and a big fat left hand. This kind of reminds me of how the Super Train Megazord's weapons work. The front and rear of the train cars, which the Megazord holds and shoots missiles and a Gatling gun, excuse me. But you could theoretically use those as bludgeoning weapons and effectively hit someone with the front of a train. To get back on the topic here, you got a big left fist to punch one of the Death Strongers with. And then the missile launchers, of course, to blow them up afterward. That's always fun, you know. In this mode, Fire Convoy gains... His height goes up to almost 8.5 inches at the shoulder pads, and then the shoulder width is about 9 inches. He's big in this mode. I mean, it adds enough bulk to make him a lot more tough-looking than he is in plain old Fire Convoy mode. a bit more colors added in this mode. Blue on the missile launchers for the missiles themselves, more of the silvery black in the missile launchers, a blue band on the super gauntlet, which also has a small positionable gun on the backside, and then more cream color in the super fingers. I'm not going to comment on the fire convoy base. It's okay, but it's really not essential to the toy. I might include notes on it later, but I don't really plan on making a big deal of it. Alright, now I have Super Fire Convoy. A note when transforming him, his chest plate kind of attaches funny. There's three pegs on Fire Convoy's shoulders and one behind his head. Two on his shoulders, one behind his head, three total. It's hard to see if you got him locked in or not. And his torso, which is supposed to slide all the way up, doesn't like to stay up when you're attaching the chest plate. Which causes a problem because if the head pops out, the plate can't fit on correctly. But other than that, the transformation goes pretty much without a hitch. For example, this time, which is, I think, the third time I've put him into Super Fire Convoy mode, I got on the first try. The only real bit of kibble in this mode is his ladder, which hangs off his back and I guess provides a bit of support, not that I really think he needs it, as his feet are about 4.5 inches from front to back. I really don't think stability would be a problem for this guy. Let's see what we got here. The ladder can swing around and fire off four missiles, well, more throw four missiles, and one of them only fires a few inches. The one at the very front will go about 6 feet. The one behind it goes considerably less, the one behind that goes slightly shorter, and the fourth missile goes the shortest at just a few inches. The ladder Zooka is also hard to position, as it will sometimes cause the torso plate to pop off. Super Fire Convoy has a chrome emblazoned Autobot, or Cybertron, symbol on his chest. It's on a panel that flips up to reveal some interesting molding underneath. I'm not exactly sure what it's supposed to be. Some people think it's a matrix of leadership, not resembling the one in Transformers the Movie, unfortunately. Let's see, primary color scheme is red and silver, I guess. Mostly red with a few other colors in small amounts. His Super Fire Convoy head, which actually looks like a Megazord head, is red with silver highlights around the face plating and such. He's got two odd-looking vents on the top of his head. I don't know what those are for. His antenna are actually guns, which can be positioned individually. I would actually have rather that they were joined by a bar inside his head so that they'd be easier to line up. They'd do it automatically. Let's see, to continue with the color scheme, he's got blue bands on his arms, which are like the same thing I mentioned in the missile shoulder mode. His large feet are mostly red with more of the silverish black and more silver metal pattern on the top. The connectors from his big feet to his Fire Convoy legs are metal patterned, but in the dark silver. Regular normal plastic, or regular gray plastic, excuse me, also. These are just like locking pegs to make sure his feet don't pop out while you're trying to move him around. His shoulder pads are kind of tall. They don't really envelop the shoulder so much as sit on top of them. Let's see, he's got... I'm counting articulation points here. Points of articulation, which by the way is about what Fire Convoy's regular and missile shoulder modes would have, give or take. I just now noticed I neglected to mention that before. His latter Zuka also has 3 points of articulation on it. The actual joint to position it over his right shoulder. The one to aim it, and then a second one to aim it over his shoulder. It works best when placed to a slight angle, as that doesn't make any difference with his head. If you try to aim it straight forward, it'll push his head to the side a bit and generally mess up the antenna. Okay. Let's run through this in order. Fire truck mode is really pretty good. It's not as bad as most people make it out to be. Mine has barely tried to fall apart on me. There's some robot parts visible. The super fire convoy head and the crotch plate, or pelvis plate. I think I can say crotch on RFC. Anyway, aside from that, the fire truck mode is really pretty nice. I especially like the rubberized tires, and actually I was never even a fan of that for G1. I was never even around for that phase of G1, come to think of it. The fire convoy printing on the tires is also a nice touch. I'm not sure if I mentioned that, oh yeah I did, that the ladder extends. Anyway, on a scale of 1 to 10, just like always, Fire Convoy's fire truck mode gets 8 out of 10. I really can't find any problem except for the super fire convoy parts being visible. Oh, and then there is the matter of it slightly falling apart sometimes. Regular fire convoy mode is actually a very nice robot. Unfortunately, it doesn't have any gimmicks of its own to fall back on except for the electronics, which is not really its own gimmick, as that's more for the vehicle mode and Super Fire Convoy himself. You know, other than that, though, the color scheme is good. I like the molding and the chrome eyes. He's a very nice, simple robot. Transformation is challenging, but not frustrating. It's not too simple, either. Regular Fire Convoy gets 7 out of 10. The lack of a gimmick of its own kind of hurts it for me. Oh, by the way, he does have a gun. It's rather small, though, more like a pistol than a rifle. It's got a red spinning thing on it. It's used in vehicle mode to help balance the front end out. Let's see, missile shoulder mode gets 7 out of 10. I mean, it's not different enough from regular fire convoy mode. So it's got a big left fist and missiles on its shoulders. I mean, if the missiles fired, that'd be one thing. Like I said, it's just not different enough for me. Now, super fire convoy mode, it's very, very nice. I'll give you an example of the articulation. His head is on a ball joint, so you're not just looking side to side. You can look down a bit and up a bit. Regular fire convoy has the ball joint neck, too. He also has articulated thumbs, like Optimal Optimus, although they don't move quite as easily as Op-Ops. The only problem I have with Super Fire Convoy is he doesn't actually seem as poseable as regular Fire Convoy. He's got the big ladder hanging on his back, which would interfere pretty good. and he loses the ankle articulation Fire Convoy had, which is actually good. You can have him in a nice spread-legged pose. That probably wasn't worded the best. But anyway, Fire Convoy does have enough gimmicks on his side, though, like the guns on his arms. But I guess I'm getting too focused on the weaponry here. Fire Convoy is good, but Super Fire Convoy is slightly better in some ways. I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10. Overall, he's a great toy. I'd get him from ActionAce.com. That's where I got mine. He'll cost you about $65, including shipping. That's the cheapest I'm aware of from a reliable dealer online. And the shipping is real fast, too. For example, mine was ordered on Friday, shipped out Saturday, and just arrived Wednesday. So, I would definitely recommend them to you. I'm going to give Fire Convoy an average rating of 9 out of 10. He's just real nice. Definitely recommended. This is Goldimus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron, the first, the best.
And this is Radio Free Cybertron, Brian Kilby here, speaking with Jay Hooks X, you know, from the news groups and all assorted places across the internet. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What about you?
I'm okay, I suppose. I'm me, so I can't be doing that great.
Oh, don't say that.
Let me see here. We're going to talk about various stuff today. Mostly alt.toys. Transformers, because that's, you know, your expertise. At least you're more have a better expertise at it than I do. Tell us about yourself.
As everyone knows, my name's Hooks. I dropped the X.
Yeah.
The J isn't there. It's just Hooks. That's my last name. From California. Right now I'm attending Moore Park College in California, but at the same time I'm working in the music industry for Kazi Dot Management, managing different music groups, directly under Capitol Records and Arista Records and whatnot, mostly R&B and hip-hop, which a lot of trans fans aren't into, but that's alright. Hopefully I'm planning on getting a degree in film. If not, then maybe a business degree for management. Right now I'm not exactly sure what I want my master's to be in. Let's see, what else? I like writing. A lot of you have read my fan fiction from years ago, which I think is basically weak, but, you know, a lot of people have different opinions on that. Co-founder of the world's worst fanfic. And friend to all.
Friend to all, loved by many, hated by some.
Sure. Questions you want to ask me?
Let's see here. Tell us about you and your history with, I want to ask this, but I don't know if I should. You can tell me the utterance of one word, Delaway.
Delaway is, well, okay, he doesn't like me.
Yeah.
And I tried liking him, and that didn't work out. So we just love to hate each other. I love to hate him. He loves to hate me. So hey, why not?
Yeah.
So
I want to get another perspective on this, because I mentioned it to Card 42 last year sometime. Tell us how the Transformers World's Worst got started again.
Transformers Wars?
The World's Worst.
World's Worst.
Yeah,
okay.
World's Worst fanfic.
Okay, World's Worst. Okay. I was reading AGT. I saw this fanfic. I forgot the name of it exactly, but it was written by Warrenfield. Cracked me up. I was laughing so hard reading it, and then I went on to TFU, which was, you know, the former Ouija at the time. I went to TFU, and there were some fans in there, like Picard and Walkie, and I was, you know, reading them the fanfic, and then they were laughing, and I was saying we should MST the fanfic and whatnot, and basically, you know, Pink and Walkie decided to, you know, co-write it with me, and, you know, it was a collaboration. Now we're looking back, you know, some of the old stuff was weak, but basically started out as just parodying Warrenfield's fiction, and then, I think Walkie's the one that came up with the name The World's Worst Fanfic, I forget.
Which
one? The log is on one of TSU's or Ouija's pages.
Did you find that?
Yeah. I don't want to look for it right now, but...
that's okay.
But basically, that's how, you know, it started. You know, I read the fan fiction and then showed it to them and decided to write it. And I stopped writing it because I know I'm not as funny as Picard and Walkie are when it comes to writing comedy.
It was still funny because I liked the first fanfic. It's been a while since I've read it, but I got a laugh out of it.
Yeah, but some of the stuff, like, I don't know, when you read it now, it's kind of old. At the time, it was pretty funny to us. But then at the same time, back then, Picard and Walkie used to write laugh out loud, like LOL, rolling on the floor laughing, and nowadays they have a little bit more grammar. But then again, at the same time, I never used apostrophes back then when it came to chat.
Used so, arrows.
And arrows.
Okay, never mind. Deathosaurus joke.
Arrows, yeah. Deathosaurus is misunderstood, though, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people need to get off his back.
Yeah.
Because at least he posts on topic, but that's a different
except for thing. The, Gundam Wing. I think it was Gundam Wing or something.
And Neil David replied, that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
That was comedy at its best.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tyga, did you notice how Tyga threatened me?
Yeah.
Like, if you wrote a fanfic like that, like Neil did, then, I mean, like Deathsaurus did, then I wouldn't mind reading it. And I'd probably laugh about it.
Yeah. What is it about the Transformers that you like?
Well, who wouldn't like sentient robot aliens who could turn into lawnmowers and plants and semi-trucks? I mean, they're just basically original concept, which, because a lot of earlier versions of, like, robotic, robotic, anything in science fiction that had to do with robots, it was either man-made or non-sentient, and even though GoBots did pretty much come before Transformers, there was more of a epic feel to the Transformers than anything that touched it before.
Yeah, they put more effort into the Transformers than the GoBots.
Yeah, it was more, you know, there was more appealing to the characters, and it was more universal. And I don't know, as a kid, it just kind of grabbed me and, you know, kept me stuck for about 16 years or so.
Do you like G1 better than Beast Wars or Beast Machines?
Well, I like the, Beast Machines, we don't want to touch that, but, I liked Beast Wars the way the story was and everything, but even though I do admit that a lot of nostalgia does come into play when it comes to G1, but basically as a whole I like Transformers, you know, basically as a whole, but in terms of which I like better, I'd probably say the G1, the epic feel of G1, but the characters of Beast Wars.
You have some experience with the people at Beast Wars, don't you?
Yeah, Bob Ford and Larry DiTilio. I used to interview Bob pretty much on occasion back in 1997, I believe, and I still pretty much keep in contact with Larry over email.
Neat.
So,
tell us about Dirt Dinobot. I've always thought that was the funniest thing in the
Dirt
world.
Dinobot. I don't know what Dirt Dinobot's about.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea.
Okay.
What Dirk Dinobot is.
Okay, I have no clue.
It was just, someone just drew me a picture and sent it to me.
Okay.
It was a nice color pip. They were done in crayon. That's what Dirk Dinobot was about.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the meat of the matter. You've been on alt.toys.transformers for what, 5 years?
Basically 5-6 years.
Wow.
So.
You've seen it through the ups and downs.
Definitely. A lot of ups and a whole lot of downs.
What do you think about it now? Because I've been bugging people about it recently.
About it now?
Yeah.
Well, I do feel that it's getting better than it was before. There is a lot of off-topic posts when a lot of people just feel the need to post off-topic just because, you know, they see a lot of on-topic posts that happen to drift off-topic.
Mm-hmm.
But. And it does seem like a lot of people do have a lot of self-righteous attitudes going on. And honestly, I do feel like it could be just because of the Fox Kids airing the different Transformers series that a lot of people that are younger than what the news group used to be, because it used to be like an average of people in their 20s, but now it seems like a lot of people in junior high and high school,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of minors are on the news groups, and a lot of people are being introduced to the internet now than they were several years ago, so they're not sure a lot about a lot of netiquette and whatnot, and they don't know, you know, how to come know, to the news groups with a mature mentality, I guess you could say.
And huge signatures.
Yeah. 50-line signatures are not a good thing.
Yeah, I know. That's been my biggest problem.
I mean, people, I guess the concept of signatures is lost on a lot of people because, you know, you don't see people signing books of checks with, you know, just a constant babble, you know what I mean? And one-worded replies with 50-line signatures are not exactly the, I don't know, it's pretty much annoying.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, I suppose right now would be a good time to go into our five-question segment, shamelessly stolen from Craig Kilborn. We'll start off with number one, cooler character, Trax or Midnighter?
Midnighter from The Authority, definitely.
Yeah, he's cool.
Definitely.
Okay, number two, worse, Beast Machine Season 1 or Spider-Man Chapter 1?
I'd have to say Spider-Man Chapter 1, because even though I'm not exactly the biggest fan of Beast Machine Season 1, well, for all you comic fans out there, you know about Chapter 1, and Chapter 2, John Byrne is not exactly his best work.
No. Well, actually, it's more of his mainstream work lately.
Yeah.
Okay, number three, more insane, Galvatron or all Dot Toys Dot Transformers?
You're talking about Season 3 Galvatron?
Yeah, of course.
All Dot Toys Dot Transformers, because at least Galvatron had his bouts of sanity here and there. Well, in like two episodes, but
okay.
At least it wasn't to the point where he was signing on different Decepticons 50 lines long, but
okay. Number four. This one you told me not to get into, but I'm going to. Beast Machines, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Overall, thumbs down.
Thumbs down?
Yeah.
And the last question, number five, Deathosaurus, lonely, troll, or misunderstood, genius spelled G-E-N-I-O-U-S.
He's misunderstood. You need everybody, and you know, everybody needs to understand Deathosaurus and give him just a big loving hug, because he is definitely misunderstood and perhaps smarter than most people understand. And maybe, I don't know, I mean, a lot of people saw Raksha was insane, and I think she's a revolutionary. I mean, she did say ATT was a cesspool, and look what happened.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
But, honestly, Deathosaurus, he tries his best. He may, I mean, honestly, I think he's either young, or maybe he's just not, he doesn't know how to come across people, and I do think he does try for the best, and a lot of people just misunderstand him. And a lot of people, you know, criticize him because of his grammar, but at least he doesn't have SIGs that are 50 lines long.
Yeah.
And he does post on topic almost every single time, even though that little fight between him and Neil Davidson was kind of funny.
Yeah. Just this week on ATT, there was a thread about Blue Jackal getting her license, or her actually passing her driving test, and Cole Slaughter mentioned something. You know, the thread spawned a lot of responses, and you responded to Cole Slaughter.
Yeah.
And then you responded to someone else, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Ide. I'm sorry if I say your name wrong, but
I do it all the time.
Yeah, Ide. You want me to talk about that?
Yeah,
or?
Please.
Okay.
Because people are, you know, just not getting that, it seems.
First of all, I did not insult Blue Jackal directly. I was talking about basically the whole attitude about trying to put her up on a pedestal, basically saying that because she is who she is, that she should get special treatment. I did not say she does get special treatment, but that person in particular basically said that she should get treatment just because she is ATT's beloved poster or whatnot. And I think that's preposterous, just because just putting anybody, you know, ahead of anyone else in a fan forum, that shouldn't be, you know, basically, that shouldn't happen whatsoever. And, you know, there's nothing, you know, no offense to Blue Jackal or anything, but I do feel that, you know, that kind of behavior should be discouraged a little bit. And, you know, basically, you know, I do feel that just because she's a female that she gets such attention, even though other, you know, trans fan females haven't gotten this type of attention, but she's the most predominant one on ATT right now. And it seems like a lot of people just want to, you know, place her as the queen of ATT. And like I said, I know she doesn't, you know, she doesn't like this either.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she said to herself. But
several times, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not trying to insult her or anything. And I do feel like a lot of the off-topic posts just get out of hand. And then to say that it's okay just because of who is the one, who the person posting it, it's unbelievable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing is, what gets me is that's what I got from your post. But a lot of people are just, you know, this is a very sensitive subject for them. Because you mentioned the fanboy thing. I think people are saying, no, I'm not, you know, I may be, I may not be.
Well, I'm not saying that they are stalkers, but it's that attitude. I mean, you know, when she posts, it seems like you get 91 replies, just, you know.
Like, I had breakfast.
She's the one who posts, so,
she doesn't say that.
Huh?
She doesn't say it. No, just, that was just, if she posted, I had oatmeal for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, people, she would, you know, that just not, doesn't necessarily happen, but that's what it seems like.
And it just seems like if anyone else, you know, someone that's not known, posts an on-topic Transformers message, people don't respond to it. They don't flock to it as much as they do, like, an off-topic Blue Jackal post.
Well, I think one problem with that is that a lot of new people post stuff that's in the FAQ, and it's just been, you know, to death. Like, someone posted today about a Unicron toy. You know, yeah, there was a prototype, but, you know, that's been asked to death. But
a lot of people, I mean, maybe
don't.
Some people also feel that everyone should know everything about Transformers already.
Yeah, well.
And there are new people that come onto the internet, you know, people who are fans of Transformers for 16 years, just as much as we are,
mm-hmm.
but they come onto ATT and there's, like, all these facts and whatnot that they don't even know about. And some people have, like, an attitude towards them thinking, like, oh, you don't know anything, newbie, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
whatever. And, you know, I think people just need to calm down. I know I've been harsh in my posts, but it just got to that point where somebody just wants to strangle people, and, you know, it's hard not to blow up when you have, you know, people, you know, posting off-topic so much that it just seems like, okay, if you don't like off-topic posts on the Transformers group, go to that other Transformers group, they can talk about Transformers.
That's my biggest problem, too. It's just people say that, you know, off-topic is fine,
yeah.
And if you don't like it, leave. The thing is that it is, by definition, off-topic and isn't supposed to be on the group. I'm not saying that it's that bad. It's just that people shouldn't have the attitude that if you don't like it, you know, leave, yeah.
It's not, you know, I mean, like, certain off-topic posts, I mean, like I said, like, in my post, but I know a lot of people probably didn't read them.
Yeah.
Because it seems like everyone's ignoring them, but the fact is, I'm not saying that anything that life-changing, like, you know, Nightwing, who had a baby, or Nightwind?
Nightwind, yeah.
She had a baby.
Nightwing didn't have a baby. He's a DC character.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're getting married or you have, like, something that changes your life, then, you know, that's okay. Because, I mean, just talking about, oh, I just happened to go to the store today, I got a new shirt.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I got some new shoes. I have them on, you know, it's, I mean, it's just, there's a point, there's a line you have to cross.
Well, Blue Jackal, yeah, getting her, you know, that was pretty big, and I suppose that was fine.
I mean, yeah, I apologize for that, because, I mean, getting a license is pretty big, especially for her. But it's just that, I don't know, just the attitude that other people had about it. Like, okay, you know, that one guy said a cool slider. You don't like off-topic posts, but it's okay because it's Blue Jackal.
Mm-hmm.
She's special.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just upset me. I mean, I didn't read her post, but, you know, I'm glad, you know, I congratulate her for getting her license. But at the same time, it's like, you know, there's a certain line you have to cross when it comes to, you know, when it comes to your friends, not just that, but when it comes to what you want to put on the news group or what you just email to all your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. It's just a line you have to cross. A lot of people just don't seem to get that concept.
My one problem with those, if it's something really big or it's a really popular poster, it tends to spawn a huge thread of, no, congrats, this and that. And for certain readers, that can, you know, browsers, that cannot be a mess. I tend to respond to those via email sometimes. Sometimes I do it on the group. It depends what mood I'm in or if I think to.
And the truth is, if you reply to email, that's more personal than reply it on the
mm-hmm.
news group because you took the time to actually email that person.
Yeah, it seems like some people will post. Sorry for butting in. It seems like some people, you know, will post to say, hey, you know, look at me, I'm saying, hey, thank you, you know, congratulations to this person, you know, I'm a big, famous, their friend.
Yeah, but there is no, like, I mean, except for, like, certain people like Ben Yi, you know, he's, like, a legend in Champs fandom, but, you know, he deserves that, though, but, I don't know, a lot of people just seem to have this cliquish
before we were talking about G1, and we were discussing what we liked and didn't like about, this didn't get on there, by the way, what we did and didn't like about Seasons 1 and 2 compared to Season 3.
Oh, you mean the Superfan?
Yeah, exactly. And I since that didn't get on air, I actually want to go into that a little bit.
Okay.
You like, the same as I do, prefer Season 3 mm-hmm. over Seasons 1 and 2. You want to tell the people why you...
Well, we didn't get to point out that. Okay, basically Season 3 has more of an epic science fiction feel to it than the first two seasons did. The first two seasons seem more super heroic than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, while certain episodes of Season 1 were definitely, you know, had that science fiction feel to it, Season 2 in general was seemed more like a superhero, super friends type, you know, Optimus Prime, the Superman, you know, monitoring the news, or, and then you had like your random, you know, your random Aquaman or Batman come
OBC
in and
spray.
Go and save the day from Lex Luthor, Megatron, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But as for Season 3, it just seemed more, there was, you had more freedom to the stories. You weren't stranded on Earth. You didn't have to deal with plot devices as much in Season 3 as you did with Season 1 and 2 with the space bridge and whatnot. And, I mean, with even in Season 2, you had, you know, they had the space bridge. They went to Cybertron and went to space whenever the plot demanded. They had Omega Supreme. Why were they still stranded on Earth?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that they wanted to protect Earth from the Decepticons, but you have all these other Autobots in Cybertron and space, and they just didn't, you know, cover both angles, and they didn't have, it seemed like they didn't want to have the freedom to explore as much as they did in Season 3. In Season 3, you went to different planets, you had different characters. It, the Autobots seemed more like they're less like a super team and more like
individuals,
not just individuals, but as, also as, you know, I wouldn't say species because it's Transformers species, but perhaps more as a race
mm-hmm.
of Transformers. The Autobots seem more, and they seem more united and seem more, you know, they are a race at war with the Decepticons, and it seemed more, I can't think of the right word for this right now, but basically I'm saying that it just seemed more cohesive as a season. I mean, and you had more continuity in Season 3, too. You know, it wasn't as direct and serialistic as you had, you know, Beast Wars or Beast Machines, but it was, I mean, you just saw continuity, you know, come into play in a lot of different plot threads, you know, seep through, and the characters seem more real. There's more human dialogue and not just, you know, character traits, you know, like you had Ironhide, the war hero, whatnot. But I don't know, it just seemed more, there were more realistic characters in Season 3. I mean, Romulus Prime, he wasn't the perfect Superman leader.
He was flawed.
Yeah, there were more flaws. That's what I'm trying to say. Those are the words I'm trying to come out. All right. But, yeah, Season 3, it just, you had more, it just seemed more human, but at the same time, it was more alien when it came to the actual plots. The characters were more human, and it just seemed more, it just had more of an entertaining feel to it.
That's what, I've heard you say that's, well, not exactly in so many words, but that's what you want the next show to be similar to, with new characters
yeah.
and more of a quasi-political struggle instead of, oh, we destroy you because we can.
I also don't want any more fate of the universe, fate of the species, fate of all time and space itself stories, because those have been done for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's time to move on. I mean, you can have epic stories without having to worry about the entire fate of all existence.
But would kids since it is, this is when I always go back to this, with toys or the show or whatever, it's always geared towards kids. Kids are the main market that this is geared towards. But also there are adult fans like us who enjoy this, and it needs to be made so both can enjoy it, but kids really do need to understand it.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if you can actually do that with a new show. Well, I guess you can, because they did do Season 3 that way. And I suppose that kids understood Beast Wars, most of it, you know, boom, he blew up, Waspinator, haha, funny. But I doubt they got, you know, the Black Arachnid, Silverbolt stuff, which was fun.
But Larry DiTilio once said how, like, Hasbro should also give more freedom to Transformers when it comes to the actual series and whatnot. because I don't remember his exact quote to me, but I remember he did say that, you know, said that, you know, that Transformers shouldn't be focused just as a toy line. It shouldn't just be focused as an under 12, you know, kids, you know, only series, not just for the toy line, but for the television series as well. And I think Bob echoed that as well, that shouldn't just be a toy-generated television series. And I know a lot of fans feel the same way. And, I mean, you could have a series that, you know, that both kids and adults can understand. I mean, you know, Star Trek is popular with all ages,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it doesn't cater to the lowest common denominator, or it doesn't cater just to little kids with, well, depending on what you feel about Star Trek, but it doesn't just cater just to children and doesn't try and talk down to them. And a lot of kids do understand some of the more serious plots when it comes to Beast Wars and, in some cases, Beast Machines, especially Season 2, but a lot of the execs don't understand that, and they just feel like, you know, you have to talk down the kids in order to understand, or in order for them to understand what the series is about, and I feel that's not the case whatsoever.
Well, I look at it, Hasbro is a toy company, so they don't care about good television, even though the writers do. Bob and Larry had to fight them a lot of the time for, of course, and a lot of, I don't know if they are doing the same thing with Beast Machines, I doubt it. I guess they're just giving in.
Well, Bobsker, you know, didn't he say basically that, you know, he's doing what Hasbro asked? Basically.
Probably.
Because he came in not as a Trans fan, and Hasbro basically said, you know, you don't need to know the history. And he did, you know, get some, like, two of the writers from the previous series, and he did, you know, study a little bit, even though he didn't have to.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, but Hasbro, I mean, a lot of people blame Bobsker for a lot of things. I mean, I did that first, too, but knowing about the situation more and understanding it, then you could see how, you know, Bobsker actually put more into adding Beast Machine to previous series than Hasbro would have liked. Hasbro would just like to just forget the past and just move on, even though, you know, they do certain things that the fans have demanded and whatnot, like the vehicles returning and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, Hasbro is a toy company, but they shouldn't just focus on just the children, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't just keep their, you know, they shouldn't just keep their sights aimed at one direction. They should work, you know, focus on spreading now and maybe try catering to different audiences, not just focused on one particular one.
Well, I was trying to, you're basically saying what I was going to say, so that's really no point. Well, when you do something, make it from, I have to work in broadcasting and I've taken courses, woo, but the whole point is to have programming that people can understand, that's simple, and it's the least objectionable. You know, and it's all about making money. So it's great that some people do. You know, Bob and Larry, they tried to make good television, and it's good when they do that. But you always can't expect it, and you sort of have to demand it because you want to. But it's really sometimes futile to do so.
Yeah. But I'm surprised. I mean, in a way, we kind of got lucky with Bob and Larry, even in some cases, Bobsker, Marty Eisenberg, because we haven't had series like, you know, the original G1 series, which was basically for children.
Yeah, it was totally, completely.
Yeah, and we were lucky to get as much matureness in the past 5 seasons as we have compared, because we could have got, like, a repeat of G1 simplistic episodic plot.
We could have gotten Budiansky to write the TV show. That would have been great.
Yeah. Well, actually, he was a good writer when it came to his early stories.
Definitely.
But then he suddenly just drifted off and just seemed like he just wants to do what Hasbro.
Probably heroin. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, Simon Furman could have written. He wrote, what was the episode? Nemesis Part 2. I liked Furman's TV. I'm not his biggest fan when it comes to the comic. I have to be honest there. But if he would be willing to write the show, that would be great, since he's, you know, familiar with it.
If he wrote the next show, then it'd be perfect, because he knows, not only does he know how to work with Hasbro, but he also knows how to put mature stories together without having to catering to the younger audiences.
Yeah.
And basically he knows just about everything about Transformers as anyone else can. But at the same time, he knows how to deal with Hasbro and their toy restrictions and whatnot, and without having to talk down to people. And it just, I don't know, I think Simon Furman would probably be the best bet when it comes to the next series and who should work for him.
I doubt that he will, but that would be great if he did. That's all I can say.
I'd love him to, but I mean, I don't think there's a single chance, man, that wouldn't want him to actually work on the series, as long as he kept some of the religious angles down, because I know a lot of people...
I'm not too fond of them.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't fond of religion and whatnot. They think that religion is Transformer stories, and citizens are sentient robots, but a lot of people like them, a lot of people don't. But you can't deny that he actually knows more of Transformers history than anyone else who's actually worked on a TV series.
Yeah.
Or any series of Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd probably be the best bet when it comes to people who actually want a good story that actually pays attention to all the previous incarnations of Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I agree there. What was I going to say now? Something to the effect... I guess I can get into some spoilers here. Did you see the new episode yet?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like?
Everybody died.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. That was just so great.
And I think it's great. I mean, if you think of Beast Wars and Beast Machines as one series, like Transformers Beast, just calling it one series, in a way, this last episode is going to be pretty much, just fits because it's Optimus versus Megatron.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, my one problem is that Megatron's new body looks cheesy with the old Megatron face.
Well, I think it should have just been Megatron head instead of his face under Primal's helmet. And maybe they could have recolored the body a little bit, but I think it might have been just for Primal's reaction, I don't think, But I think it should have been recolored.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in the Primal Prime colors, but perhaps in one of the more Megatron-esque silver colors.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice. But this last episode, the past two episodes have been, well, actually, past three episodes, I should say, they've been really great and just shocked me. I had no idea that it's come down to this, and I have no idea what's going to happen next week. And basically, I don't want Beast Machines to end on an open ended.
Yeah.
Because every other Transformers series has. Every single series. G1 ended with Scorponok flying off, and G2 ending with, while Autobot and Decepticon came to peace, then you had the Leech Maximal. And then you had Beast Wars. I mean, that wasn't, well, in a way it was open-ended because they went to Cybertron, but you didn't know, but the series isn't really over yet.
Yeah.
So, but last episode was mind-blowing, definitely.
I'm just wondering how they're all going to get this done in one episode, because, this is, it'll have to almost be open-ended, unless everything just dies. That would be great.
But in a way, you can't just think, I want to say that, they could get so much resolved. I mean, next week's episode could either be one of the most intelligent Transformers episode ever on television, or it could be...
Garbage.
It either goes one way or the other. I can't picture it anywhere else in between. Because you can have, Megatron and Optimus basically philosophizing against each other, about each other's ideals, and then suddenly, you can get some major revelations, like saying that techno-organic Cybertron and techno-organic creatures aren't Transformers. Yeah. But that's me. I don't really want Transformers to become completely techno-organic.
Me too. I just hope this. I hope it doesn't turn into Optimal Situation, because to me, Gina Part 3's ending was awesome, but Optimal Situation was such a downer because it didn't live up to it. I want it to be a good episode, but I don't have to wait months to see that. So it won't be that bad.
I just really hope it's not disappointing, because this episode could be one of the best Transformers episodes ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to get everything resolved, and they can even add a couple more plot twists and whatnot, and then, but in context of episodic series, you can't just have Megatron to be Optimus in the first act, and then have, you can't really show them putting all the sparks back into everybody's bodies and repairing the bodies and whatnot. By the same time, you can't just say, hey, we won, and then end it, because then you'll have, all the fans debating whether or not Cybertron's going to be reformatted, or if Transformers became a completely techno-organic species, and if you leave it open-ended, then it's going to lead to a lot of speculation, debate, and I don't think that's something we need right now, because then you'll have, two different sides of, wondering what happened.
What gets me is a second ago you said that this could be one of the best episodes of the Transformers ever. This time last season, if you would have never said that, first of all, but if you did, I would have laughed at you. I just liked Beast Machine Season 2 so much.
I was watching the first, after I watched The Matrix, then I decided to rewatch Beast Machine Season 1,
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many similarities that almost made me weep.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, so many of the characteristics are just so similar, and it's just like, you know, but at least they drifted away from the Matrix.
Yeah.
And decided to go into their own, you know, their own way. But first, I mean, Beast Machine Season 1 could have been real good, and I don't know. I mean, there were a couple of episodes. There was Fires of the Past, which was pretty good, and then there was End of the Line, which I thought was nice. But other than those two, I don't think I enjoyed much of the rest of the season. I mean, when it comes to episodes as a whole, I mean, you had some pretty enjoyable scenes, like Revelations Part 1, when they found the, you know, the bodies and, you know, just laying around. That was pretty gruesome for, you know, Transformers series. But Season 1, it lacked in a lot of places, and a lot of the characterizations and whatnot were just off. And then you had, like, the pacing was real off, too, because you had, for so many episodes, them trying to transform. And then, I mean, they could have just gotten over with. And I'm still wondering about, because I remember at BotCon 99, they said that it was going to be a series about Transformers, like the Lost Tribes, coming back to Cybertron.
That happened in one episode.
Yeah.
And
one episode.
Of course, if somehow we were lucky enough to get a next season, which is unlikely, it would be nice if they would go into that, but they won't, so.
But
there will be a lot of fan fiction written, I assure you.
Mm-hmm. I'm still wondering. I mean, I have no idea what to think about next week's episode. I have absolutely no idea, and I hope it's good, and I pray it's good, because if it's not good, I'll be sad and mad. And in a way, I kind of hope that, you know, Cybertron isn't turned into, you know, isn't reformatted and all the Transformers aren't turned techno-organic, but in the context of the series, that's the only thing that can happen.
Yeah, and that's sort of unfortunate, but it's, oh, yeah.
But right now, I'd really like a lot of the Season 1 exposition, though.
Yeah.
When it comes to, I mean, Cheetor's, you know, when he would always protest about, like, how are we sure that the Oracle's right, blah, 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 and whatnot.
No, it's like, follow the Oracle. The Oracle is what is good for us.
Yeah, and Cheetor wasn't really, you know, he didn't really agree with that, and I kind of was hoping that that's the angle that Season 2 would take. Even though Season 2 was good, but then we just got more of the Oracle, and Oracle, I don't like it at all.
Me neither.
I mean, we didn't even see Megatron or, well, we saw Megatron take it from Optimus, but we didn't see Optimus absorb the Oracle or anything. Suddenly, he just had it. He went from having the link to the Oracle to having the Oracle inside him, and we never saw that. And it just became a big plot device when it came to certain things, and the Oracle seems to know everything, too. Like, oh, the Oracle wanted the Megatron download to happen, wanted this to happen, wanted that to happen. And, I don't know. It just, I was just like this to end.
Yeah. I understand what you mean there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it looks like right now the time is getting to an end because the thing here is dying on me. So we have to end the interview now, but
okay.
Thanks, Hooks.
No problem.
You are now tuning into the spoiler segment. We hope that you enjoyed the rest of the show. Just in case you're listening to this by accident and don't want to be spoiled, we will go into the usual spoiler clip, which is coming up right now. After it, you will be on your own as far as spoilers go. Beast Machines Endgame Part 2. No clips for this week. Nothing really jumped out at me as being needed to go on the air. Basically, what happened? Last week, the Maximals have control of the Sparks, but the Viacons are gunning for them, literally. Thanks to Rat Trap and his new feelings for Botanica, the big floating head shields are compromised and crash, down it went. What's going on this week? The Maximals are taking a stand and have to keep the Viacons from taking the Sparks back. Good start and a strong basis for an episode. Primal begs the Oracle for help. And then the Sparks' powers are given to the Maximals for strength. Cybertron unites behind the Maximals, if you will. At first glance, that's sort of cheesy, but it's sort of cool when you think about it. Well, it's sort of cool when you think about it, but it's a little odd when you see it in practice, though. The Maximals are given sort of strange powers, basically the ability to move real fast and blow stuff up. It has a Super Mario Brothers feel. That's basically how I felt when I watched it. I have to say, though, that the fight scenes were darned cool. There's a definite sense of urgency felt throughout the whole episode. The build-up of Megatron's new body, as in being completely curious as to what it is, helps the flow of the episode, and good directing helps. I said that I had no clue as to what Megatron's new body would be. Someone emailed me and told me that it would be Op-Op, because his shoulder was shown last week. I told the listener that I noticed that, but didn't think that it would be the model used, being that Primal has a beast mode and all. But I was wrong. Megatron's new body is Optimal Optimus, which is pretty cool when you actually watch it. At the end of the episode, after a huge fight throughout the whole thing, everyone is out of the picture. Stryker and Obsidian are stuck floating in orbit. Thrust is sparkless. And most of the Maximals have had their sparks removed too. Everyone is out of the picture, save Megatron and Primal, and several hundred Viacon drones. Great episode, and a good cliffhanger. And please don't screw it up by having a weak ending. Next week, better rock, my friends. It better be good. Thrust was cool. Cheetor worked. Silverbolt was good. Heck, even Botanica was good in this episode. This is the type of episode that makes me forgive Season 1. All in all, I give this episode an 8.5, and I can't wait until next week.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
That's it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. We hope you enjoyed the show, all 1 hour and however many minutes of it. We appreciate you for listening, and we hope you tune in again next week. For Radio Free Cybertron, this is Brian Kilby signing off.
Together, so we can't say words.